What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 95. Today, we're going to be doing a whole breakdown. We've been doing a series of podcasts on supplements. So today, we're going to break down what supplements you should take for kind of endurance athletes. So if you're doing marathons, if you're out there riding a bike for hundreds of miles, things like that where you're really pushing your body in an endurance standpoint, we're going to break down what supplements you should take, what supplements we recommend, and why we recommend them. It's honestly a lot, so we'll break all that stuff down. But first, a quick check-in. So, Tom, how's your week been?
It's been really good. So, the day after we recorded the podcast last week, I decided to test myself because I got that 100-miler coming up. There's two tests that I wanted to do beforehand just to make sure, you know, I'm on the right track. This last week, on Thursday, Friday, David Goggins came up with it or somebody like that. It's been really popular during this whole coronavirus where everybody's been like kind of shelter in place. A lot of endurance athletes have been doing this. So you run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours.
Yeah, that's some David Goggins shit for sure.
Yeah, I think he came up with it or if he... He was the first person I saw post something about it. So I'm giving him credit because that's where I heard about it from, but I don't really know if he created it. So I got to run every 4 hours. It gave me a chance to feel what it's like to run at midnight, at 4 a.m. I was also running peak, like heat during the day, 3 p.m., that type of thing. So like I got to experience what it's like to run all different times of the day. I also got to experiment with what kind of foods I do well with, which ones I don't. That's always a good thing to learn, is what don't you tolerate very well, you know?
What did you find out?
So I just kind of played around with a couple things. Because when I do that 100-miler down in L.A., I'm going to have my fiance like probably barbecue for me. I felt like that would be the easiest option to get some like good food in. So one of the things I was thinking that's really easy to barbecue, you don't really even need to cook it too much, is, you know, those like pre-made like sausages, like they're kind of like hot dogs, but I guess like a little fancier.
Yeah, they're pretty. The ones that are already cooked.
They're already cooked. All you gotta do is just throw them on the grill. Yeah. I mean, you could throw them in a microwave if you need to. I guess you don't even really need to do that. You could eat them cold if you want to.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought those would be a pretty good idea, easy on everybody. I did that. The run I did after that was my worst run by far. Like, my stomach hurt the whole time. I don't know if it was my slowest run or not, but that was on day one. And it was by far my slowest run that day. And I was just uncomfortable. My heart rate was through the roof with my pace being very low, which is the opposite of what you want. So I was just like all around just bad. And it gave me like just stomach issues too. So I was like, okay, take that one off the table.
Yeah.
One thing I knew that I did absolutely fantastic with was the essential amino acid supplement that I have. I'll definitely go into detail on that because I cannot recommend that one enough, especially the brand that I'm taking. I did hamburgers the next day, and I even ate probably like a pound and a half of hamburgers like before my run, and I did great with those, like no stomach issues at all. One thing somebody told me over the weekend was that ground beef is actually a lot easier to digest than other forms of beef, just because it's already like so much like mechanically broken down.
It's like
just
pretty digested.
It's in smaller pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a little bit easier to digest than something like steak. So that's just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm for sure going to do hamburgers. That's something else that's like really easy to barbecue. So, you know, like I just kind of found that out. Salt was a big thing, played around with salt. So those were kind of the things. Some bone broth, too. I did a little bit of bone broth while I was running. Didn't have any issues with that. Sometimes in the past I've had bone broth and it's given me a little bit of a stomach ache, but I think by now I kind of have my bone broth dialed in. So yeah, I was just kind of experimenting, like what works, what doesn't. And yeah, it gave me a lot of chances. So a lot of the runs, especially on that second day, getting close to that 48 hours, my legs would be heavy. My feet felt like my shoes were center blocks, you know, that type of thing. Just kind of getting used to pushing myself when I'm tired. Running at like 4 a.m. when it's dark out, I'd rather be sleeping. One thing I was really surprised with is that I didn't sleep the whole first 24 hours. I tried to a couple times, but I was just like looking forward to my next run too much. So like I was just kind of just running off with very, very little sleep. I think I got maybe 5 to 6 hours of sleep total in that 48 hours. I mean, after I was done with that run, I passed out. But before that, you know, only got like 6-7 hours of sleep in like hour and a half blocks. So that was one thing I was just kind of surprised with, that my body was able to perform with like little sleep and just kind of pushing myself when it's not comfortable. Definitely felt like some blisters coming on. So that's another thing I want to definitely work on, get those blisters to turn into calluses before I do that 100-miler. You know, definitely don't want any blisters popping up because that is extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that it's hard enough as it is. You know what I mean? You don't want to add more stuff to it.
Yeah, so overall it went great. I mean, the only setback, and I don't even really see it as a setback, I feel that it's more of a learning lesson, is that those pre-made hot dogs just don't work. That's a no-go.
So would you say that was hard? So 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. Would you say that's hard?
I mean, definitely on the second day. The second day, it's mostly like a mental test. Because it's just like, all right, I laid down in bed. Am I going to get out of bed right now? Yes, I am. Like, that's one of the hardest parts, is just physically getting out of bed when your body's like wanting to sleep. And then I live upstairs, so I'm walking down the stairs. Every step down, it hurts. So it's just like pushing past that like pain and just a tiredness. But like once I'm past like the first block or two, but you know, within like that first half mile, after that, I'm good. It feels fine. My body's feeling fine. I mean, there was a couple of those runs where it didn't feel good, but for the most part, it felt good. Oh, eggs. Eggs is another no-go. Don't know why, but I did eggs before one of my other runs. And yeah, I had stomach issues. I burped a couple times and like tasted the eggs and it almost made me throw up. So yeah, eggs is a no-go for my running. And those are pre-made sausages. Okay. Probably just ground beef.
Just like boiled eggs? Is that what you did? Hard-boiled?
No, I did just bacon and eggs, like over-easy eggs. Okay. I do that almost every day. I don't know if I just didn't have enough time to digest them or what. But yeah, it didn't sit well.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not the smartest man on the planet. So in these 48 hours, how many miles did you run total?
So I did 52 miles total.
That's a lot of miles.
So I did 7:30 a.m. was my first run on Thursday. My last run was 7:30 on Saturday. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to do that 7:30 run or not, so I just did it anyway. I wasn't sure if that 3:30 like start time run would have gotten me there or not. So I was like, do I want to do 48 or 52? I was like, I might as well just hit 52.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. What really? What's the difference between 12 runs and 13 runs? You know.
No, at that point, exactly.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I mean, I think to someone like me, that sounds like a shit ton of miles. But I mean, honestly, 4 miles to me sounds like a lot. But that's cool, man. And I think the valuable thing you learned is what to eat for your next 100-miler, because you don't want to have a stomach ache during this. You don't want to cramp up. You don't want to throw up, because that's just going to throw everything off.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it's a great learning lesson. And yeah, I feel like I'm just getting past that. Like, I'm really looking forward to this race. Hopefully it doesn't get canceled. That's always an option. It could get canceled. So far it isn't. It's September, I think, 5th and 6th. So, I mean, we'll wait and see. Sometime either end of July, beginning of August, somewhere around there, I want to do a 50-mile just straight in one run.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, like, my next test. Because the farthest I've done is a 50K. And I've done a few of those. So it's just kind of like, that's just the next step. If I can do 50 miles, I can do 100. Doing the 52 in like the 2-3 or the 2 days, I feel pretty confident I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah, no, I think that's, no, I think you will for sure. And I think, yeah, to kind of get into the podcast this week, like, this is your shit. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about it. Like, my world is more strength training. And so next week we'll do a podcast on my supplement recommendations for strength training and muscle building, like muscle hypertrophy. But this week, this is Tom's world. This is literally, this is what he does. This is what he's been doing. He's been doing this since high school. So he knows what it takes to run. He knows what it feels like to run. He knows what it feels like to run shitty. He knows what it feels like to run good. So these supplements are all kind of based off his knowledge and his experience. And so we're just going to go into all that stuff. So do you want to kind of just start with your number one recommendation we're going to start with?
Yeah, so we're going to kind of break this down into like a few different categories. I'm going to say what I do every day, whether I'm running 2 miles, whether it's like a recovery day, whether I'm running 20 miles out in the hot sun. This is something, regardless of what day it is, this is what I'm drinking, this is what I'm like consuming. Then I'll do like, what's an easy training day, what's a hard training day. A hard training day I consider the same thing as a competition day. And then the last one is just going to be kind of like others deserving votes, like stuff I'm not taking but I see the potential there, and like ways that other people could incorporate that if they want to.
Yeah, okay.
So let's just start off with the everyday. So bone broth. I think bone broth is essential. I think everybody should be considering this every day. There's so many benefits to it. So like the first one I take it for is just collagen. So me and Tyson talk about this all the time. We're both carnivores. I don't know what everybody would consider me a carnivore. I guess I'm carnivore-ish. Like mm-hmm. Most of my diet is meat-based. I do eat some other things, but mostly in meat, like primarily muscle meat, you're not getting a lot of collagen. So collagen is like great for connective tissue. That's going to be the sources of it. That comes from stuff like skin, bones, joints, ligaments, tendons. If you're not eating those part of the animals, then you're not really getting like that much collagen. And honestly, like feeds like. So if you eat bones, that's good for your bones, that type of thing. Collagen is great for all that connective tissue. So one thing I want is I want really strong bones, really strong connective tissue. That way I don't have any tendon tears. I don't want to, you know, tear my Achilles. I want strong bone density. So if I go out there and fall, I'm not really worried about breaking an ankle or anything like that. So that's just one thing. The next key component of bone broth is glycine. Glycine is found in collagen. And this amino acid, it's found in muscle meat, but there's so much more of it in connective tissue. That's the primary reason I consume bone broth is for the glycine. And that's used to make creatine. Well, there will be more on creatine later on. And also glutathione. Glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. So that's great for your immune system, and it's also great for your recovery. It basically just fixes problems before they even start, before you even know about them. So just like think about if you had a date coming over to your house like that night and you had 8 hours to clean. So it'd be so much easier for you to like make sure your living room and your bathroom are on point if your kitchen's already clean ahead of time. So that's what that glutathione is doing. It's making sure your kitchen stays clean. So when you have to clean stuff later on, basically, you know, like when you work out, you're causing so much oxidative stress that antioxidant is taking care of a lot of that stress right there. So when you sleep, you can kind of focus more on building muscle. So that's what that's doing. That's why it leads to better recovery. And bone broth is a great way to get a lot of minerals and electrolytes. Minerals, electrolytes, you can use them interchangeably pretty much. That's stuff like salt, magnesium, sodium, potassium, that type of thing. So I add salt to my bone broth, but there's already a lot of minerals coming from the bones themselves. So it's a great source of that.
Yeah, so bone broth is... I mean, so I recently had a conversation with actually one of our clients. I recommend she takes bone broth every day. She starts bone broth, honestly, instead of morning coffee, she has morning bone broth. And I think for the vast majority of people, if they would switch that in their lives, like if in Starbucks, like if they served a bone broth option instead of black coffee, a lot of people would be a lot more healthy. Because like you said, these things that are in bone broth, like the collagen, the glycine, the other minerals and electrolytes, most people are going to be deficient in a lot of these things, you know? And the creation of creatine, the creation of glutathione. I like how your little, like, metaphor about solving problems before they even happen. like, I know we're talking about endurance and like kind of supplementation, but this is just metabolic health. If you kind of compare that to like COVID and all this shit that's going on now, COVID is pretty much, think of it like a bad flu, right? If your body is already on point because you have enough glutathione around, if something like this happens to you, like you said, oxidative stress from working out or getting some sort of a flu, some sort of infection, your body's going to handle that way better. So getting that glycine and getting these amino acids from bone broth is essential. And I think most people are, I mean, most people besides athletes could benefit from this, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I think it's important for everybody. And, I mean, just kind of tying this back into athletes, too. Like, getting sick means that you can't train, or at least you shouldn't be training if you're sick. So that just kind of puts, that's going to, like, set you back when it comes to your training and everything. So being sick isn't just about your overall health. It's also about your performance, too. So, yeah, like, you don't, or if you're trying to compete while you're sick. I mean, we went over this, I don't remember when. It might have been last week, talking about Michael Jordan in the flu game. There's only one of those guys out there.
Yeah.
Like, trust me. Like, I'm not Michael Jordan. If I have a flu, I'm going to have a shitty day. Like, I'm not going to be out there having the best day of my life in the finals.
Yeah, exactly. There's only one Michael Jordan, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So the next thing I consume every day is real salt. It's Redmond's real salt. There's no plastics in this salt like there are in many salt sources. If you're getting any ocean salt, or, like, you know, just your basic table salt, there's going to be some microplastics in that. So just from, like, a health standpoint, Redmond's Real Salt is the way to go. I add Redmond's Real Salt to my bone broth, and if it's a really hot day or if I'm going to be doing some sort of, like, running, just, like, excessive sweating, I'll take some Redmond's Real Salt with that as well. Another benefit of it, it's made right here in America. It comes from Utah, and it has the best nutrient profile for any of the other salts out there. Way better than that Pink Himalayan salt. The Celtic sea salt is like another, it's pretty good, but Redmond's real salt is definitely the best one. And it contains iodide, which many salts do not, except for iodized salt. And the only iodized salt that I'm aware of is like that table salt, which is going to contain plastics. So you can get the best of both worlds if you consume Redmond's real salt.
Oh yeah, no, I can't recommend Redmond's real salt enough. And besides the profile, besides the, you know, no plastics, I honestly think it just tastes better than every other salt I've ever had. Like, it tastes good.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love the taste of it. We both talk about this all the time, that we do salt shots from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
As basically just throwing salt in our mouth and then chasing it with water. I've tried that with other salt, and man, it is so much harder to do.
Yeah, because it's gross.
Yeah.
So, and I think the no plastic in salt, it might not seem like a big deal because you're kind of like, whatever. But microplastics, you could think of it like, I don't know, I have deodorant that doesn't have aluminum in it because I'm trying to just lessen my toxic burden. Like, literally every day we're surrounded by all this shit that's foreign to our body that our body has to fight off. So why ingest these microplastics when we don't have to? So that's kind of just the really reasoning behind it. Like, they're not helping our body. They're only adding to the stress our body has to deal with. So getting a salt that is very healthy but also doesn't have microplastics is important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that one.
Yeah. So we're going to go to your training days?
Yeah, so this one is just going to be like an easy training day. An easy training day to me is like most training days. Like, if I'm just working out, my hard training days, competitions, I do those maybe once, twice a week at the most. And competitions I do like every few months. So this is just like my Monday through Friday training schedule. This is what I'm going to be doing. So the goal for these days is to train in a depleted state. So my body gets used to tapping into its own like fuel sources, its own nutrients. Like, it has to get used to using itself. Because then I'm like, I train fasted. The only thing I might consume beforehand is coffee, maybe some real salt, but for the most part, I don't, unless I'm going to be doing some like run outside that's extremely hot. But for the most part, I do my salt after my workout. So an hour beforehand, consume a cup of coffee. It increases fat mobilization. So that's great because that's what I'm trying to do. I want to tap into my fat stores as much as I possibly can. It decreases your rate of perceived effort. Basically just means like it makes your workout feel easier so you can push yourself a little bit harder. And it gives you that energy boost. You know, sometimes you just don't want to work out, So that extra energy boost from that coffee, like, really helps you just get mentally prepared and get you focused for that exercise. I talked about this earlier. Sometimes I had to drag my ass out of bed. If it's one of those days, hey, that cup of coffee in the morning is great.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely doesn't hurt.
Yeah, so for the most part, I consume that Redmond's Real Salt after my workout. Usually, I put that in bone broth, and I consume that bone broth while I'm cooking a meal. Usually, it's with dinner just because it takes me longer to cook dinner, and I'm, like, usually really hungry. Dinner is my biggest meal. So having that bone broth as, like, a little bit of an appetizer really just helps out.
No, I think, so this is what people should really try and focus on. Like you said, this isn't a day you're killing yourself. This is a day you're kind of just focused on kind of the routine of it, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's like, so if I'm going to be running a marathon or you're doing a triathlon, or like Ironman, anything like that, you're going to be out there competing for a couple hours, a few hours. Your body's going to be depleted of everything. You know, you're going to start running low on, like, on glycogen. You're going to be running low on other key nutrients. So the best way to get that is, like, your body can store all this stuff. But you can fast for a very long time and be perfectly fine. So your body has all these things stored up. But can it access them? Can it access them fast? That's the thing. That's what's going to hinder you from having a good workout and hitting that wall and be forced to quit. So this is what I'm trying to do, is just trying to get my body to get used to tapping into those stores, know how to find them, just so it knows how to do it. Get used to tapping in fat, turn that fat into ketones, that type of thing. Like, save that glycogen for when it really, really matters. I'm trying to make myself the best fat burner I possibly can be. The better you are at fat burning, that means you can save that glycogen for later on in the day. You're always going to be using fat and glycogen. I just want that scale tip way more towards fat burning than the glycogen or sugar burning. For so sure. That's what these workouts are all about, just focusing on fat burning, fat burning, fat burning.
Got it. But they're different than your hard training days.
Yeah, definitely. So my hard training days, the goal for these days is peak performance. I'm trying to test myself, push myself as hard as I can. These are the days where I'm like climbing Mount Diablo, which is 14 miles with about like half a mile in elevation change on the way up and the way down. You basically run up a big ass mountain for 7.5 miles on the way up, then you run straight down that mountain for 7.5 miles on the way down. And it's hot as hell over there too. Like, those are those type of training days. Or, you know, I'm running 20 miles flat, something like that. So, or you're competing. For me, my next one's gonna be a 100-miler. Other ones I've done, you know, 50Ks, if you're an Ironman triathlete or just a marathon runner. Like, when you're trying to push your performance for those, this is what you're going to be doing, or this is what I do. So, just like the easy training day, coffee an hour beforehand. That coffee, everything you're taking before competition, you want to take 30 minutes, I think an hour beforehand is even better, just so you know your body's fully able to utilize it, digest it, get it in your bloodstream, that type of thing. So do coffee an hour beforehand. We just went over all the benefits of that. Here's the real one that, like, I cannot recommend enough, is essential amino acids. So I add the Redmond's Real Salt to every single essential amino acid drink that I have. So not only do I drink this an hour before competition, I consume this all throughout my competition. Like, anytime I'm drinking water, it contains the Redmond's Real Salt and it contains those essential amino acids. So the brand that I have right now is True Nutrition, and I cannot recommend it enough because it has not only all the essential amino acids. Essential amino acids, we had a whole podcast on it already. They're really easy to break down, since, like, it's not a full protein that's already broken down in amino acids, so your stomach doesn't really need to do too much. So it's not sitting around your stomach waiting to be broken down by your stomach acid. It goes through your stomach pretty quick, and you're able to absorb it really fast. So your essential amino acids, you're getting so many benefits from that. If you want to know more about essential amino acids, just kind of listen to that podcast that we did a few podcasts back. Along with it, the True Nutrition brand supplement contains sodium already, so you're already getting a little bit of salt from that. Magnesium reduces cramps, so that's another benefit that you're getting from this one. It also contains glycine. We already talked about earlier that glutathione boost that you're going to be getting from that, and that creatine. And it also contains citrulline. Citrulline, we talked about last week in nitric oxide boosters. Citrulline gets converted to arginine to produce nitric oxide, so that dilates your blood vessels, increasing blood flow and delivery of nutrients to your working muscles, as well as removing harmful byproducts from those muscles. So it's, you know, a big, big benefit for these athletes, especially if you're going to be out there competing all day. And it also contains a beetroot powder. I don't think we got into beetroot powder too much last week, but that's a plant source that contains nitrates, which is another important component of nitric oxide. So you're getting a nitric oxide booster, as well as the essential amino acid booster, as well as some
minerals.
Some minerals, mm-hmm. Some electrolytes. So it's kind of like an all-in-one for endurance athletes. So I cannot recommend the brand True Nutrition enough when it comes to that. And it's pretty cheap. It's competitively priced. I got mine for buy one, get one free. So it's really cheap and it tastes delicious. So, like, I mean, there is no, like, bad side of this.
Yeah, I mean, that is literally like a one-stop shop for everything you would want.
Yeah, I sent you the picture, I think, over the weekend, mm-hmm. Just kind of like looking at all the ingredients in it. And I was just kind of like amazed. I was like, you know what? If I was going to make one supplement for what I'm doing, this is it. Like, it contains absolutely everything you could possibly need.
Yeah, I think the only complaint I had was it's a proprietary blend, so you don't know exactly how much is in there, but that's going to be literally 99% of the fitness industry, or excuse me, the supplementation industry, is going to be really hard to find anything different. And the ratios of what's in there is, like, it looks good to me. Like, I really didn't have any complaints on it. And the combo of beetroot powder with citrulline is a great 1-2 punch to help with nitric oxide production, because you have, like, our body has two pathways to producing nitric oxide, and that taps into both of them. The magnesium is great, and the magnesium was in, like, a pretty bioavailable form. It wasn't a magnesium oxide, which is trash. So you'll find that in a lot of supplements that try and say, like, oh, it has magnesium, but you look at the form and it's magnesium oxide. And then you have to understand your body absorbs maybe 5% of that. So what's the point? Like, if it's not really good. So this magnesium is actually bioavailable. And then on top of having all the essential amino acids, which those are just amino acids our body can't produce, so we have to get them from our diet. So that drink is awesome, man. You know, like, you feel the difference. Like, you say you drink it and you feel good.
Yeah, definitely. And so it contains leucine. It contains 5 grams of leucine per serving, which is great because that's enough to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. Mm-hmm. So not only will that result in better recovery for building muscles, but also has a muscle-sparing effect while you're competing. So, hey, it's a great benefit. That's one thing. Like, if you're running low on amino acids, your body might start tapping into its own muscle, which you definitely don't want. You don't want that while you're training. You definitely don't want that while you're competing. You don't want to be out there getting weaker while you're trying to train and get stronger. Or while you're competing, you don't want to be out there getting weaker because your performance is only going to dip as the day goes on. This kind of prevents that. So essential amino acids are great, especially this one, because if you can get like 5-6 supplements in one, why not? You're saving yourself some money. You're saving yourself popping like 8 different pills while you're out there running. Like, everything I try to do, I try to combine into one thing as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, no, that's a great supplement. So does it have a specific name, or is it literally just called like EAA? What's it called?
It's called EAA Plus. Okay, but if you go to their website, like, it's the only essential amino acid product that they sell.
Got it.
You can get an essential amino acid product like boost to your protein powder, but that just seems kind of wasteful. Why do you need more essential amino acids in a protein powder? You're already getting all of them.
Yeah, they're already there. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, this is kind of like, if you just want the essential amino acids, this is a way to do it, and it contains all of them. Whoever designed that product knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
and
it sounds like it.
We don't have any ties to TrueNutrition.com, so like, we're not biased on that point. I just recommend them just because I use them and I love them, and it's just an overall just good product.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. It really does.
Yeah, so we talked about bone broth. I do that with a meal, usually dinner. Not really going to get into that. This is something I do. I do this at least 2 times a week, maybe 3 times. So I don't always do this after a hard work. I do this after every hard workout, and I might throw 1 or 2 of these in during the week whenever I can have the time. And that's an Epsom salt bath. So Epsom salt is just magnesium. That's what that salt is. It's magnesium is used in over 800 processes in the human body. Depending on the source, you're going to see 300 plus. I've seen 800 plus. I've seen 1,000 plus. The one thing that every source has in common is that plus sign. So it's used in a lot of different processes.
It's a lot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And another thing, it's commonly deficient in a lot of people. Unfortunately, it's been depleted from our soil, so you're not going to get too much of it through normal food sources. And if you're sweating a lot, whether it's really hot or you're out there competing, you know, for several hours just sweating the whole time, you're going to be losing a lot of it. So you really do need to be replacing or just supplementing with magnesium in some way. My preferred way is the Epsom salt, just because, like, you're able to kill two birds with one stone, and you're getting, like, that warm water. Warm water is great for soothing muscles. That magnesium is a muscle relaxer in itself. So it's just an overall way to just kind of relax your body after competing for hours on hours on end. Just a nice way to treat yourself after you just spent hours beating yourself up. Sometimes when I'm taking that Epsom salt bath, if, like, my muscles are really tight, I might spend that time massaging them, maybe stretching them out. That's the only time I might stretch is while I'm doing that. So it's just a nice little recovery tool, self-care tool overall. Good way to relax. Your heart rate's going to, you know, go way down. So it's just an overall just nice little self-treat after, like, a hard day of just beating yourself up.
Yeah, I think the vast, vast majority of people out there should supplement with magnesium. We have a two-part podcast on magnesium. It was a long time ago. I think, like, podcast 13 or 14, so a real long time ago. But super informative. So if you want to learn more about magnesium, I'd recommend checking that out. And yeah, just listen to that because it's a super, super important mineral that most people are deficient in.
Yeah, and then the next one that I take on my hard training days is a protein shake. So especially endurance athletes, as far as, like, body weight is concerned, endurance athletes have the highest protein demand, like, per pound of body weight. Just because you're out there competing all day, you're breaking down your muscles for hours on hours on end. So you're doing a lot of damage to those working muscles. And generally, if you are an endurance athlete, those muscles are your legs. So you're causing a lot of damage to very, very large muscles. So you need a lot of protein to rebuild those muscles bigger, faster, stronger. So to recover, like, to maximize recovery, I don't want protein to be the limiting factor. So I do a protein shake on those days. I don't do a protein shake every day. I feel like the best source of protein should be normal food, primarily meat, like in the form of steak or eggs, something along those lines. But hey, when you're doing abnormal things, you usually need a supplement with some stuff.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, so this is either something I take at the end of the day or post-exercise. It kind of just depends. So when I'm out there training, sometimes I drive an hour, hour and a half away, or if I'm competing, I'm a couple hours away from my house. So the next time I'm getting a meal in is going to be 2, 3, maybe even 4 hours later. And after some of those hard training days, I'm hungry. And my cue to eat is when I'm hungry. When my body tells me it's time to eat, I want to eat. So that's when I'll have a protein shake right after I work out. If I'm able to get home and eat when I want to, then I'll consume that protein shake at the end of the day. And the form I recommend is whey protein for the vast majority of people. But if you are sensitive to dairy, I'm one of those people, I just consume straight beef isolate protein. That's another, you're able to get a great protein source from the beef without, like, the dairy along with it. So either beef isolate protein or whey protein, depending on your sensitivity. If you are a vegetarian or vegan, I'll be really surprised that you're listening to this podcast overall, but hey, more than welcome to. Most pea proteins or soy proteins, they have a lot more toxic metals, so they're not the best source, and the amino acid profile in there isn't as good as an animal source, so you're getting more toxins and an inferior protein. So, like, go with beef protein or whey protein. Those are the ways to go.
So, you know, I've never actually had a beef protein powder. Does beef protein mix well?
The one I have does. I haven't had any issues with it. But I have a shaker cup, and those shaker cups mix pretty much everything well. I haven't tried just stirring it in with a spoon, so don't really know for sure.
Okay, and it tastes good?
Yeah, the one I have tastes really good. I also have a True Nutrition brand. Their flavorings are really good. I haven't had a bad flavor for them yet, crossing my fingers. But this is also something I don't take every day. Like this, the beef protein isolate is kind of expensive. So that's kind of one of the reasons I'm not taking it every day, just kind of using it here and there, like when I do need a supplement with it. But my protein goals for the day is I try to get around 220 to 250 per day. But on those hard training days, you know, I might want to try to up that to 300 grams. And eating 300 grams of protein, that's a lot of food. I mean, like a rough estimate, there's about 100 grams of protein in like 1 pound of meat. So it kind of depends. And, you know, like sometimes I just can't eat 3 pounds of meat. Like I can't eat 3 pounds of meat in one sitting most of the time. Mm-hmm. And if I'm out there running for 6 hours on a day, I'm probably only going to be able to get one meal in just because there's only so much time in the day. And I need to get like a lot of sleep after that. So that, you know, eat 2 pounds of steak, get another 75-100 grams of protein from a protein shake, something along those lines.
Yeah, no, that's what it's there for. It's like, that's like the perfect utilization for it. When you can't get the meals in, but your diet's already dialed in, your training's dialed in, that's when a protein powder should be used. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much it for what I'm doing on my like normal basis. But here are some other supplements I recommend. These are the other supplements like Receiving Votes. Personally, I don't take most of these because they're either redundant, because like I'm already consuming lots of meat, or their other products, like other amino acids that kind of make them. So the first one is creatine. So creatine is a phosphate donor to produce ATP. ATP is that's what our body uses for energy. So creatine is very important if you're doing some sort of like sprinting. I'm sure Tyson's going to be talking about creatine a lot next week. Mm-hmm. When you're doing those like fast twitch things, those sprinting, those like short-term events. But you're primarily using like that creatine energy system. But if you're running for 7 hours, you're using every single pathway that your body can create energy, you're using them. So you don't want there to be any sort of limiting factor. You want to have all the energy possible. So creatine is a great way. There's lots in meat, and glycine is used to create creatine, and I'm already taking glycine. So that's the only reason I'm not. If you're not getting a lot of glycine in your diet, or you're not eating a lot of meat like I am, I would recommend supplementing with creatine.
Yeah, no, creatine's awesome. And I'll go in depth next week on creatine for sure. And we do have a whole podcast on creatine as well, if you want to kind of listen up on that.
Yeah, that's one of the early ones too. That's probably right around the magnesium one, either right before it or after it.
Yeah.
So the next one, we talked about this product or this supplement last week a lot, is arginine. Arginine is a nitric oxide booster. Since I'm already taking citrulline and that essential amino acid product, citrulline gets converted to arginine. So there's really no, I could take arginine, I could benefit from it, but the added cost and just like the taking extra pills just doesn't seem to fit my lifestyle. But if there wasn't citrulline in that supplement, I would be taking some sort of citrulline-arginine combo.
Yeah, no, citrulline, arginine, great, especially for endurance, it's been proven in studies that it helps, like it really does help athletes, so it gives you the opportunity to push harder for longer, and honestly, when you're running 100 miles, you're going to have to push hard for a long time, you know?
Yeah, for more on that, we talked about it a lot last week, and it helps all sorts of athletes, it helps pretty much, it's great for overall health as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you're increasing that blood flow is going to be a great benefit for any sort of athlete. The next one is CoQ10. CoQ10 is vital for energy production, and it's also an antioxidant. So clearing up that waste from all that oxidative stress that you're doing, you're creating a ton of oxidative stress. So you do want more antioxidants. However, I mentioned several times, I'm a carnivore. There's lots of CoQ10 in meat. Are especially muscle meat and heart. Heart is the best source of CoQ10. I don't know if there's any in eggs, or if there is any in eggs, it's very little. So you need to get muscle meat. Anything with mitochondria is going to have CoQ10.
Yeah, CoQ10, again, we have a whole podcast on CoQ10, so you can check that out as well. But it's a super important nutrient that is kind of, I don't know, not misunderstood, but, you know, a lot of people just go to Costco and they see that CoQ10 costs like $50 a bottle. And like, what is this shit?
But there really is science behind it. It really is beneficial to a lot of people, not just athletes. Anybody, honestly, over the age of maybe 35, 40 should probably be taking CoQ10, especially if you're not on a proper diet. Like if you don't get a lot of muscle meats in your diet, you probably should supplement with it. So CoQ10 is awesome. It really is.
Yeah, and I probably should recommend that the form you want to take is ubiquinol if you are going to be supplementing with CoQ10. That's the best form of it for absorption.
Yep.
So this is one that I don't think we've talked about in the past, and I don't think most people really need to worry about it unless you are doing these crazy endurance sports, and that's D-ribose. So D-ribose is essential for heart health, but again, that's found in meat. So you've heard those stories about people having heart attacks, dropping dead at the end of like a marathon or any sort of like crazy endurance sport. Like that could be because their body just depleted themselves of D-ribose. Majority of people don't really need to worry about this because I don't think you can really deplete D-ribose to that level doing natural things. But if you're doing extremely unnatural things like what I do and other crazy endurance athletes do, there is that chance. Especially because a lot of endurance athletes are vegetarian or vegan, and you're only going to find D-ribose in meat sources. I eat a ton of meat, and that's another reason, like, while I'm doing the 100-miler, I'm going to be eating ground beef while I'm doing it. I'm going to make sure I'm eating some sort of muscle meat to get that D-ribose. If I wasn't going to be eating during that event, I would be supplementing with D-ribose. So it's kind of one or the other, but I'm getting way more out of just meat in general than I would be from just taking a D-ribose supplement. So if you are a vegetarian and you are doing some crazy stuff, take D-ribose because your life could literally depend on it.
Yeah, I mean, D-ribose is one that doesn't get talked about a lot. It's pretty much like normal sugars are 6 carbon, this is a 5 carbon sugar that our body can make itself. But in certain situations, in certain like dysfunctional situations, D-ribose can become depleted because it's not, well, you know, we're going to do a series of podcasts like this one, nutrition and supplements for endurance races. Next week is going to be supplementations for weightlifting. But eventually we want to do a podcast on supplementation for overall health. And in that podcast, we're going to break down specifically why D-ribose is going to be effective in that case. And for example, my brother has heart disease. And so pretty much his heart just does not function efficiently. You know, his body's not getting proper oxygen. And it's honestly, you're slowly dying pretty much. And I told him to take D-ribose, and I'll go into why that is on that podcast. But yeah, D-ribose is definitely a pretty cool supplement, and it's not very expensive. You know, it's pretty much a sweet powder you can mix into any drink, so it's pretty easy to fit into your supplement routine or supplement regimen.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's only pretty much relevant for like crazy endurance athletes. If you're running a 5K or like a half marathon, you don't really need to worry about it. Or if you're doing any other just like straight weightlifting, you know, those shorter competitions, you don't really need to worry about it. But hey, if you are doing these crazy day-long events, something to consider.
For sure.
Yeah. So the next one is L-carnitine. L-carnitine is used for fat oxidation. So hey, that's another benefit or another great supplement that you could be taking. But again, it's found in large quantities in meat. So I'm not really too worried about getting L-carnitine.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. If your diet's on point, you're going to get a lot of L-carnitine. But again, like you said earlier about D-ribose, if you're a vegetarian, if you're a vegan, then you're going to need to supplement with L-carnitine. Our body can make it. It's not, you know, essential. But there's plenty of situations where our body's not going to make enough. So in that case, you know, you probably should supplement with L-carnitine. You can get a powder. You can get it in liquid form, too. It's pretty accessible, you know, any GNC, any vitamin shop, you can get L-carnitine, but for most people, you're going to get enough through your diet.
Yeah, the next one is going to be sugar. I don't know if people consider this food or a supplement. I think it's a supplement, personally. So the ways that I would consume sugar during a race, for the most part, I don't, but there's like electrolyte drinks, something like a Gatorade. Some of the better ones, like Tailwind, that has a better profile. Cytosport makes a pretty good electrolyte drink as well. I think the liquid forms of sugar are the best just because they're easier to digest. Your body has such an easier time digesting liquids than it does, like, food. So, I mean, I guess you could be eating sugar, like some candy or something out there if you want, but that might lead to an upset stomach. personally, like, I'm trying to be a fat burner as much as I can. I want my body burning fat, fat, fat. And I'm a really lean guy, but my body still has plenty of fat on me to get me through this race. So that's why I don't really see sugar. But, hey, I can see how it can help certain individuals. One way you could add it to your coffee or consume with an electrolyte drink. It's the only time that I would recommend anybody drinking like a Coca-Cola or like a Sprite, something like that, is when you're doing like an endurance race, especially if you need like something to get you through those like last 5 to 10 miles. A soda or like an Otter Pop, something along those lines might be great. But hey, for the most part, I just don't even want to deal with it.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. I consider sugar like a supplement as well. Like, I don't even consider it food. Like, when I ingest sugar, which I do now pre-workouts, the only time I ingest carbohydrates throughout the day, it's not for, like, food reasons. It's for the hormonal response, like a supplement. You know what I mean? It's funny how we look at sugar now.
Yeah, I kind of look at sugar almost the way I look at coffee sometimes. Like, hey, if I'm tired and I need a quick energy boost, I might reach for some sugar, especially if I don't want something that's going to hit me for, like, several hours on end. You know, like, hey, it's halfway through the day, I just need to make it through the next hour or two, I don't need something that's going to keep me awake for the next six, I might reach for some Skittles as opposed to a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, once you're metabolically healthy, you can be doing this. Like, that's why you see sugar, it's that energy boost, that's what it's designed for. Unfortunately, people consume it all day long, that like their body is addicted to it and they consider it like an essential nutrient, which it is not.
Not even close. Yeah.
And the last one would be like exogenous ketones. That's your, you can either be like beta hydroxybutyrate salts. There's stuff like that that you could be taking. That's just another energy source. It's a form of ketones. Your body creates, converts those salts into ketones, or you can just like consume ketones straight up. They're really expensive, especially with like how popular the ketogenic diet is at the moment. And I've never tried them personally just because they're expensive. And they can lead to an upset stomach, which is the absolute last thing you want if you're out there trying to, like, you know, do an endurance race. Not only do you not have a bathroom always around you, but, like, hey, we talked about this earlier. There's only one Michael Jordan. He's the only one who'd be pushing through this stuff. I'm not like that. I'm not that mentally tough. I really wish I was.
Yeah.
I've dealt with upset stomachs during races, and it sucks. It sucks when that bathroom's 8 miles away and your stomach hurts and you need to be there. Like, man, it's uncomfortable, it's painful, it gets your mind out of the game. Like, it's just overall a bad situation. So I just don't even want to deal with it, especially when they're expensive. So I don't really know how much of a boost it is. I can't personally relate to it. And I haven't really seen any studies or seen any other, like, endurance athletes, like, really promoting it. I just do see, like, the potential for it. That's why I'm throwing it in here. But I would recommend any of those other supplements that we talked about earlier before I recommend this one.
Yeah, I don't have any experience with exogenous ketones either. Like Tom said, they are expensive, and especially if you go with like a known brand, something that you know is quality, it's going to be expensive. And I don't know, I wonder, maybe they're just expensive because they're new, and like Tom said, they're popular. Maybe in a few years, they'll become common. Like, creatine, when it first came out, was expensive. Now you can get a tub of creatine for $5 and it'll last you 6 months. It's dirt cheap. It's very effective. So if exogenous ketones ever get to that point, then I could see myself kind of supplementing with them and seeing if I notice anything. But right now, like, I'm just not going to spend the money on it.
Yeah, that's a great point. I totally agree. Like, I don't really want to be spending, like, you know, $15 for, like, just like one single serving, if it's going to lead to me getting diarrhea or something like that. That's, you know, an expensive source to get diarrhea. I know much cheaper ways to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not the result I'm really looking for. And another thing that I'm glad you brought up, like, that's trendy, is collagen. If you go and buy a collagen protein, that stuff is like $25-$30 for a pound. Like, that doesn't even last you a month. That stuff's so crazy expensive. I mean, the collagen protein powders out there are going to be $60 a month, at least, if you want to do that. That's why I make my own bone broth at home. It costs me maybe $10 a month at the most, and I'm getting so many other added benefits besides just the collagen from it.
Yeah, there's ways around it. You don't have to go and spend all this money on these supplements, and especially, like Tom said, these trendy ones, they come at a premium. They just do, and that's because they're new,
and people, you know, they want the new and the best, you know?
Yeah, so that's all I got. Do you have any supplements you want to add to this list? Something I maybe forgot about?
No. I think, honestly, that's pretty on point. I think bone broth for everyone is essential. I'm a salt guy. Like, I consume probably more salt than anyone on the planet, or at least it feels like it. And then with that backbone of that essential amino acid drink and all the supplements in there, that seems to be kind of awesome. So check that out from True Nutrition. So, and this is your world, you know. I think you know what works, you know what doesn't work, and this is it. So I think, you know, if you're in this endurance, you know, world, you like to run, you like to bike, you like to do triathlons, that type of stuff, Ironmans, then just look into these supplements and just try them out for yourself and see if they work for you. Most likely they will. And of course, the backbone of every training program is a good nutrition program. So get your diet dialed in before you rely on these supplements. But once you get your training dialed in and your nutrition dialed in, add these things to your routine and see if they help. And I think most likely they will.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Nutrition first, supplementation second. That's what they're called, supplements, is they're just supposed to be the icing on the cake. They're not the cake themselves.
For sure. Well, all right. Well, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, if you haven't already done so, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. It greatly benefits us. It just helps us with in the rankings, makes us more popular, makes it easier for more people to come and find us. You can find us pretty much everywhere podcasts are found: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. I hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.